And now, Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements, right here on 1100 WHLI.
Hello, Long Island. Welcome to Home on Long Island. I'm your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. My guest host today is Ron Behnken. Ron has been on the show a number of times. How are you today, Ron?
I'm doing great, Sal. How are you?
Good, good. The only thing we're missing today, Ron, is we don't have our trusted sidekick, Seth, today. He's actually on vacation in the Dominican Republic.
Sideshow Seth, yeah, I know.
We're going to miss some of his humor, but so, Seth, we're hoping you're having a great time. You missed a little bit of snow and bad weather this week. Hopefully you had some great weather down in Punta Cana, which is about a 12-hour ride from Haiti. I told him while he was down there, maybe he should go and do some relief effort.
Do some work. He should. He doesn't do any work but by us.
So. I know. Exactly. But, Ron, I appreciate you coming back on the show. And today's show, we're going to talk about increasing your living space, which we've had a show on that already. But more specifically, increasing your living space in a modular system-built way. And we'll get into that in a little bit. You know, what it really means and how it, you know, affects homes on Long Island. But I figured before we get into that, why don't you tell me what's new with you? How was your week?
Oh, I had a great week, Sal. We had a conference up in Las Vegas, and, you know, it's hard to get people up to Las Vegas. So we got them all up there kicking and screaming and had a blast of a time. And, you know, we learned some stuff, but it was really nice.
Did you get any sleep at all?
We got no sleep at all. No.
Can you tell me anything about Vegas, or it has to stay in Vegas?
Everything stays in Vegas. I could tell you I was so tired. I was falling asleep last night. My daughter's birthday party. It was that much fun.
I'm sure your wife appreciated that.
Yes, she did. Yes.
It's great. When you leave Vegas, there's a sign at the airport. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And all right. So, but did you learn anything in terms of kitchens and baths? Is there something new coming up in the Allure designs?
Well, you know, they talked about education and how important education is, and with the internet and so on, how people really get sometimes know more than the designers in certain aspects. And so it just kind of reminded us the importance of it. And we recently brought back some of the seminars that we do in the showroom. And so that went over pretty big when we talked about it out there.
Yeah, when's the next seminar scheduled?
Actually coming up on the 11th is a kitchen seminar. And I talked about it during the kitchen show that we did, as a matter of fact, that we spend a couple hours and we educate people. And it's great, like I said then, for the people that are not quite ready to jump into it, or maybe think they're ready, but they want to feel it out. So this way, it's just a very comfortable setting. They kind of hang in there, have some hors d'oeuvres, and listen, and they learn about every different aspect, a little bit about everything.
Okay, so they can learn more about this going to the website?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so allure.com. Learn more about the seminars, you know, what we're going to do at the seminars and when the seminars are going to happen, right, which is at our showroom on the 1999 Hempstead Turnpike.
Yes, in East Meadow. And, and we do the kitchen one every second Thursday of the month, so it's easy to remember. So if it's not this month, the following month, you can always count on it. Just give us a heads up that you want to come down.
All right, super. Before I go on, I just want to remind everybody you can contact us by calling 631-292-9108, 631-292-9108. And you can always reach out to us an email by going to WHLI.com, click on Home on Long Island, and there's a form right there. You can send us an email and tell us what you're thinking about. So I was thinking about a new show, Ron. You know how we have Home on Long Island? I was thinking about a show, Driving on Long Island. Could you believe what it's like on Long Island right now with the roads?
Unbelievable. So all the snow.
Yeah. Oh, the roads are just, I've never seen the roads this bad. I'm looking just within our own parking lot over in Plainview, and there are more potholes than I've ever seen. It's just ridiculous, the amount of potholes. It was saying in Islip alone, they were estimating over 19,000, almost 20,000 potholes in the town of Islip. 20,000 potholes. Huh. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
That's absurd.
Yeah, and the damage it does to the cars. They said yesterday alone, and this was in today's Newsday, 600 potholes were fixed in Nassau County. So at that rate, if you think there's almost 20,000 potholes in Islip, and they're fixing 600 a day, then that's all of Nassau. You know how long it's going to take to get close to repairing all these potholes?
And we're not done yet, are we?
No, not even close. I think it also listed that the town of Brookhaven has got 175-plus people working on potholes. You know what? I think that's a pretty damn good effort. You know, you're really putting some manpower to it, because the damage, the opportunity to cause accidents and the damage that this doesn't cause is ridiculous. And, you know, one of the things that they pointed out, and AAA pointed this out as well, is a lot of times when you have the incident with the pothole, okay, you know, people will hit a pothole and they'll go look at their tire, it seems fine. A lot of times the damage happens later on, okay, because you have a slow leak, you may not know about it, and you end up a couple of miles away or a day or two later with a flat. And or you might have a bent rim, and you can't really tell if the rim is bent. It's not really badly bent, and over time it wears the tire wrong. So potholes can do a lot of damage. And I think it was part of the article in today's paper also talked about, you know, how you can possibly, you know, get the state or the county or the town to be responsible. So I don't know. What would you do, Ron, if you had a big pothole and bent your frame?
I'd complain about it a lot, but I wouldn't know where to go. I wouldn't know who to talk to.
Yeah, actually, Newsday does something about it. You can go, and it tells you. I know once I hit a pothole, and I went to the county, and it was they just had a wide open hole. I hit it, bent my rim, lost the tire, had to get a new rim and a new tire, and county blamed the town blamed the county. I ended up not getting anything, but there are instances where you can get the county or the town who, to help support you, you know.
Well, there is one good thing about potholes, and that's that TV commercial.
Which one?
Well, with a pothole, actually, he says, "I'd call you a car, but I'm a pothole. I'd call you a tow truck."
That's very funny.
I haven't seen it.
You know, I was also reading, and I think this is very similar to what happens in houses. When we talk about damage, and when you have a bad winter. For people in our industry, we look at a bad winter and we say, okay, it prevents us from working now, but it really kind of beats up on homes. So typically when there's a bad winter, we know in the spring, summer, there's going to be quite a bit of roofing jobs. There's going to be more siding jobs, driveways, patios. There's going to be a lot more of that kind of work because of the abuse that the homes took in the winter. Now, come spring and summertime, they're ready. And the same thing happens with potholes. That happens with roofs. Water seeps in. You know, you've got moisture, you've got water. Rain or whatever it may be, seeps into the roof, gets under the roof shingles, gets into a crack in the roadway. And during the evening, when it freezes, when the temperatures drop, it ices up and it expands.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, what happens is when it expands, same thing with the roof, it expands, and that's where you get the cracking in the roof. And over time, that continuously happens with roofing, and that's when roofing deteriorates and it's time for a new roof. Same thing with the pothole. The crack, water goes in, it expands, it freezes. And once it freezes and it expands, now it starts to deteriorate the asphalt. The pounding of the tires and the cars going over it, over time, it crumbles and a pothole develops. So I just thought I'd teach you a little something about potholes today. And don't drive on bent rims. So,
if you even know about it.
Yeah, if you even know. And don't drive Toyotas with gas pedals that are no good. Which last week we talked about the Toyota. Okay. This week it came out, Toyota sales are down 9% from a year ago.
Wow.
And guess who got the benefit of that?
I guess GM.
Ford and GM. Ford is up 43% from a year ago, and GM is up 11.5% from a year ago. That's pretty good.
It's nice for us, right?
Well, it's good. I mean, the benefit is, American United States automakers are seeing an increase in sales based on something that happened with Toyota. And Toyota did come in here and take a huge chunk of the business and the market.
Well, they've been saying the Americans are making much better cars now, so this is further proof, I suppose, that they're not perfect.
Definitely, definitely. All right, well, listen, we had an email question during the week and related to last week's show. Last week's show was on the Green Expo. Mm-hmm. We had Jed Morey on. Jed did a great job. This week we got an email question, and the email question is from Susan from Comac. Is using my fireplace a good way to reduce heating costs? So Susan wants to know, Ron, you know, if I use my fireplaces, do I save on heating costs? Well, it depends. Okay. If you're using a fireplace and it has gas and we're using gas and using, you know, an energy source, and that's going to increase your energy costs. But if you're using a wood fireplace, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, that when you're using a wood fireplace, there's a lot of net energy lost.
Right.
Okay? The draft that's created by the fire, it draws heated air out of the house. And that heated air, when it gets drawn out of the house, actually causes your heating equipment to work harder. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a fireplace that's airtight, that doesn't draw from any heat, okay, from the inside of the home, they're much more effective in helping heat your home. But then they're using an energy source, and you got to be careful that you're not, you know, kind of trading dollars. You're using your fireplace and that energy source, the gas or the electric that you're using for that is just replacing the gas or electric you're serving with your primary heating source.
Sure. Makes perfect sense. As it generates heat, the heat goes up and it pulls with it whatever air is in the space, in the room.
Exactly. So, Susan, we hope that you we got your answer. And we're going to take a commercial break here on WHLI 1100.
Home on Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Ferro, on 1100 WHLI.
Hey, welcome back. This is Sal Ferro, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. With me today, Ron Banking. Ron is the Director of Sales and my partner at Allure Designs. And today we're talking about increasing your living space with module home improvements. If you'd like to contact us, it's 631-292-9108. Give us a call with any questions or comments you might have in reference to today's show or any other show. Also, you can reach us at WHLI.com. Go to the website and click on Home on Long Island. And we'd be happy to get your emails, even read them on the show. And if there's any questions and you want to follow up, always can visit allure.com. Right, Ron?
Yep, www.allure.com.
Yeah, you got it. So, Ron, we did a show on adding living space a while ago. And on the show, we talked about the different types of projects you can do. Sunrooms, refinishing your basement, adding a room addition, adding a second floor dormer. And we talked about something called module.
Mm-hmm.
Module home improvements. But I hear you talk about it, and the way we at Allure handle it, we call it system built.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to us really what system built is?
Well, sure. It's a term that we put on it, and we actually use for a few different things. But the concept, well, actually, if I can back up, the concept kind of started with us getting a bunch of phone calls from people after we did the extreme makeovers. If you could build a house in a week, why is mine taking such and such? Or people that really wanted something done very quickly. And in an extreme makeover, when you've got the ABC there and all the resources and so on, makes it much more possible than doing it in a regular home. So we looked a little deeper to find a way that we can actually give people the convenience and the quick turnaround time and so on. And this was just modular was just amazing once you really look into it. And modular construction is really the heart of what system built is. And typically, modular construction is done in new homes, and it's the fastest growing way of constructing for new construction. Especially the leading areas right now are New York, Michigan, and North Carolina, where most of this stuff is done. But for dormers and additions, extensions, and so on, it's not the more common method. It's still regular traditional stick building, which is done locally.
Okay, well, just to describe what traditional stick building is, it's traditional home improvements using, you know, framing lumber and 2x4s and, you know, similar to some of the material that's used in a module, but it's done on the job site.
That's really the difference. The main part of the difference is one is done remotely and the other one is done right there on the site. And the methods are very much the same. Now, typically, the only difference is that they tend to build it a little stronger and a little better when it's built remotely because it has to be transferred to the home site. So it's got to be able to withstand the potholes you were talking about earlier today. So with that, they build it a little stronger, a little heavier. It tends to be about 30% heavier than when it's built locally. But the method's the same. It's wood stick building. It's wood sheathing. It's fiberglass insulation. It's sheetrock. It's all the same materials that you would use when you build locally. And one of the big misconceptions is people think that it's prefab. It's not prefab in any way. It's built custom to exactly what you want. And we can do just about anything and build it remotely and then transfer it to the site. Some projects are more ideal than others for it, but we can do anything.
Okay, so system built basically is, you know, a system of doing a home improvement room addition to your home, incorporating module technology or pre-built technology. And the system part of it is, you know, it comes pre-built, it's installed, and, you know, incorporated into this whole process of, I guess it's all about speed and quality. I mean,
It's actually about all three. I mean, we constantly look at value. With every project that we do, we look at value, which is, you know, and to create value, you've got the speed and the convenience of doing the project. It's the cost of the project. And understand, we're in New York. One of the reasons why it's one of the fastest growing industries, modular that is because the cost of labor is so high here. So if you build something in Pennsylvania where most people earn in construction $8 an hour versus what they earn over here, there is a cost aspect to it as well. So it's that, and then it's quality. If it's built better, it's built to a different standard. You know, when you build in a factory, which is basically what it is, the details and the methods of construction could be so much more exact.
Well, it's less variables. It's a controlled setting. And I know when we
exactly
now, as we talk about certain processes with siding or the way manufacturers products where we have factory built or factory approved steel starter strip. We definitely understand that the variables and the controlling things that you can do in the factory are far different than what you deal with on the job site. So without a doubt, I understand that. But I'm thinking back to you talking about the labor. And you know, we have a feeling of, you know, keeping it on Long Island, and you know, we're using labor outside of Long Island. Is that a concern?
You know, I suppose that it's a concern when you see it that way. But ultimately, the inconvenience and the things that can go wrong in a project – we talk about convenience. First of all, to a lot of homeowners, they may not do the project because if they have to leave their home exposed to the elements for months, sometimes to put a second floor in the home, they may not do it. So a lot of people choose to go ahead and have the work done and expand their home and have the living space that they need because they're able to do it in a very, very quick time frame and not have to move out of the house and so on. So you might say, and that's still creating work on Long Island. There's some work that still gets done here, but some of it is remote. So, you know, you want to not hold back progress because any progress is good. And having more work done in the construction industry and keeping people busy is so much more important, I think.
What do you think from a green standpoint? You know, there can be an argument that this is being shipped in, which means we're using fossil fuels to get it in. It's being, you know, using resources that we're wasting to bring it in. What's the upside, the green side of doing system build?
Oh, it's so much more green, Sal, in every respect. I mean, when you take a home and you ship it one time, what do you think most of these materials are coming from and how is it getting there? So whether it's the lumber coming in five different deliveries to the home or whether it's the window delivery or the insulation delivery and all those, as opposed to everything coming by train right to a factory where they build a tremendous amount of these things and pump them out and the whole home goes out in one delivery, there's actually less of those things being used. And then when you look at the homes themselves, you know, the standard for modular construction is higher than the standard locally by the building departments. And because of that, every modular home that's built is built to meet Energy Star standards. When we do dormers and extensions, there's no real requirement. There's no benefit to building Energy Star. But when you do it in a modular way, that's their standard. That's how they build it. So in that respect, it's better, and it's better for
there's less waste in material?
Absolutely. You cut the 2x4, whatever's left over gets used somewhere else, whereas on the job site, it goes in a dumpster because you're not going to take it back to the lumberyard.
If I remember right, when we visited one of the factories, so much of what they don't use, they use to heat and provide energy for the factories.
That's right. Exactly.
So I kind of set you up for that because I knew it was actually
I didn't
very
know
green.
Wrong.
Yes, and I knew it was very green, and I, you know, I did want to recognize the fact we are shipping it in and using resources to do so, but I know it's a very green and effective, you know, approach to, you know, doing the right thing for the environment. So how about customization? You know, this is being built somewhere else. We've got existing variables at the house that we, you know, we can't always control. But you're building this somewhere else. What kind of customization can you really have? Is it just a couple inches here and there, or is it true customization?
It's true customization, Sal. You can do just about anything. Now, there are, just like any industry, there are different factories that do different type of work. Some of them are more stock manufacturers where they have pre-designed homes with some options, and you pick the home and you put the foundation in, and then they ship the home to you. Some factories are very custom where they'll build anything that you want, and some factories are somewhere in between. And so we deal with a couple of different factories so that it fits the price point and the customization level that the customer needs. So again, the whole idea that's prefab and you're limited is very, very much off base as long as you have access to more than one factory. And, of course, we do. But from a customer standpoint, you should know you can do anything.
Okay. Cost versus traditional, are we talking a lot more money? Is it the same?
It's, you know, it's. I'd say the straightest answer I can tell give you is it's about the same. There is a cost savings. There's a substantial cost savings in the cost of labor and even the materials because the materials are bought in bulk. And again, trains pull up full of lumber and windows and things like that. But with that said, there's also the transportation cost to the site. So the cost tends to be about the same or less, But it does depend on the job. It depends on the specifics. And typically, the larger the project, the better the more savings there is overall. The smaller projects, if you're putting a small bump out on the back of the house, typically, you wouldn't be doing it modular because of cost. You might still be doing it that way because of convenience, but certainly not because of cost, because your transportation costs, the road permits, if you need transport, police escorts, anything like that, sometimes when the units get very large, then it doesn't make sense for a smaller addition. But for a whole house, a whole second floor, almost always the cost is the same or less.
So the economies of scale are, the larger it is, it tends to be more cost effective for a homeowner.
Exactly.
So we're not going to go and do a little quick, 10x10 add-on to a house module.
We could, but
it's not going to work out.
No,
okay. I think that's good. I mean, that's clear. So the benefit to a homeowner is they're looking at a big project and they could get it done quick, get it done good quality, and the price is going to be good.
Exactly.
And if it's a big project. Okay. Let me go back to the shipping process. I mean, these can be big dormers. How do they ship something that big?
You know, the trailers that carry this, the carriers, typically can carry up to 70 or 71 feet in length. They're huge. The width is the limitation. So in width, the largest that we can build is 15-foot, 9-inch boxes. And so that means that a house that's 30 feet wide would just be two boxes. And if it gets wider, then it'll go to three boxes. And that's why anything could be built. How it's designed does have to, you know, it's smart to design four modular if that's the way you're going to do it, so that this way you size it properly. You put the walls maybe a couple of inches this way or that way, just so that it's more practical for shipping and construction and so on. Not that it's not possible to do the other way, but just to control cost somewhat. And then you could enjoy a big cost saving sometimes if you really design it well.
Okay. Does this hold up? I'm thinking back, people thinking factory. Is this going to hold up? I'm putting it on my house. I'm a homeowner, and I've got a choice of having a company come in and do a traditional, as we call stick-built, which is traditional, what you see every day, people in the home framing using hammers and doing it right there on the site, compared to something that gets shipped in 10, 15 years from now. Am I going to sit back and go, wow, I should have had it done right there? Or,
you know, the thing about it, Sal, is this is not a new concept. This has been done for years and years. Buildings were put up that way. There's a lot of things that were built this way, but just wasn't common for residential structures. And will it hold up? Absolutely. When I said to you before that it weighs 30% more than traditional stick building, the reason for that is because they use heavier lumber. For instance, the standard in modular construction is 2x6 framing around the perimeter, as opposed to standard being 2x4.
So that's bigger lumber, which means more room for insulation.
Exactly.
Which means more room for, you know, structurally stronger.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, we've come across cases where the 2x4s have actually bent, usually along the bottom from all the weight and so on. It just wasn't able to support it. 2x6 is 50% heavier and stronger than 2x4s. So, yeah, a big part of the reason is the insulation, but it's also the strength of it. The floor systems are typically done out of 2x10s rather than 2x8s. That's going to have a lot less bounce. You know, a lot of the work that we do is second stories, and that's my favorite type of work because you really enjoy the most benefit in adding a second floor on the house. And what?
I want you to hold that thought because we got to take a commercial break right now.
Great.
We're going to take a quick commercial break here on WHLI 1100. Be right back.
Home on Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Ferro, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island. I'm Sal Ferro. With me today is Ron Behnken. We're talking about adding living space to your home, and we're talking about a specific way to add living space, which is module, which we call system built. And I just want to clear up one thing, and I know we might be confusing you on system built and module. A module is something that is pre-built in sections that we put together in a system on a home at the job site. And we call it system built because, you know, the module construction, the module, pre-built sections that we buy are part of a system we put together that incorporates the siding and roofing and everything else attached to bringing this into a beautiful additional living space to your home.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole system, not just a modular construction end of it. And the whole system includes the designing and includes the everything from planning to the blueprints and permitting and all that stuff. So it's a whole system that takes you from A to Z, making it much easier for the homeowner. But the system, the whole system thinking is about one aspect sort of setting you up for the next, one part of the project setting you up for the next, thinking ahead, almost working backwards. And we think that way in everything that we do. So what are we looking to accomplish? And we kind of look backwards. And it started with, like I said earlier, with extreme makeover. And when we do the extreme makeover, how we have to plan every part of the project and know exactly what we're doing, how long it's going to take us to do it, who should be doing that part of it. And if you plan everything out very well, it tends to go a lot smoother. So that's the ultimate system.
Perfect. Before we went for a commercial break, you were talking about floor joists, you know, floor beams, the support that supports the second floor or the first floor of your home. And you mentioned 2x8s. And now when Ron mentions 2x4s and 2x8s and 2x6s, those are different lumber sizes, dimensions of lumber. Those are nominal dimensions, 2 inches by 6 inches or 2 inches by 4 inches. It's not exact, but that's the terminology or the nomenclature used for that size lumber. So you mentioned 2x8 floor beams, which are one size, and 2x10s are what's used in a module, 2x10s being bigger.
Exactly. I mean, you can figure out how much bigger that it is, but very simply, by having lumber that's larger, it's going to have less deflection in it, and it's going to be stronger. It's going to be able to withstand the weight. And the deflection is very important. When you're jumping around on the second floor, that you don't hear it as much and there's no movement. And what I started saying is how much I love adding a second floor to an existing home, doing it in a modular way, because what's done is actually we take the existing ceiling joists of the first floor and leave those, and we build a whole new floor system on top of it. And the homeowners are thrilled usually when it's all done. They can have a party on the second floor and have kids jumping up and down and trying to make as much noise as they can.
No effect on the first floor.
None at all. You can't hear it.
Okay, so the reason is, the benefit of that is you're building on top of what's existing.
Correct.
You're not replacing the existing ceiling or floor with a new one. You're building on top of that, which means it has no connection.
We build a buffer in between the two where there's space. So the way noise travels is through vibrations. And if there's a space, it's the old system, a space, and a new system, the noise doesn't travel. It also gives us space to do all the mechanicals,
HVAC. So that's great. You can put your mother-in-law on the second floor. I happen to love my mother-in-law, so I wouldn't do that. Or you could put the kids up on the second floor, because they're making all the noise and you don't have to deal with it.
That's right.
So it's kind of like our basements, the Owens Corning basement finishing system. Once you put the kids down there, you don't hear anything upstairs.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's good.
Exactly.
I like the whole theory. I like the whole concept on that. So, Ronnie, talk to me a little bit about, you mentioned being exposed to the elements, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, the level of exposure has to do with time. And that, again, if we use a second story, which is very popular on Long Island, as an example, imagine taking the roof off of your house and then having to have all these different crews come in and stick by stick, 2x4x2x4, build a second floor in your home and insulate it and sheetrock it and side it and sheath it and a roof system and so on. And it takes a long time. That whole time, your home is exposed.
Okay.
Now, I'd like to say that we're as perfect as can be as a contractor, but when you're exposed to the elements and there's a big storm coming, you could top the house.
Hey, we can't control every variable, so walk us through the process then.
Well, so in this particular case, the nice thing is that the time that you're exposed is very limited. Typically, I'll walk you through the actual construction process, but there's a lot of preliminary setup, obviously, for it. But our construction process in modular, say on the second floor, would be we do some support work either in the basement or first floor to support the new structure that's going upstairs. So we do that first. And then we take off the existing roof. We typically take the existing roof off the day before we set the new second floor. So there's one night that we might be exposed with a tarp in the house. And when it's only one night, you can plan for that. And if there's bad weather expected, then you just don't do it. Then you just hold off a couple of days. And you can schedule for that one day and one night before it. It'll be good weather. And then you take the roof off the next morning, actually in the middle of the night, the modular boxes come in. And then that next morning, usually 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, the crane will show up and we'll put the second floor
right on top of the first floor, and we'll be done sometimes, usually by noontime, by lunchtime. It'll be done. It'll be a whole second floor on top of the first floor. It'll now be a colonial. There'll be a roof on it. The roof shingles will be done, and you're closed off. Animals are not going to come into the house. Rain is not going to come into the house.
That is great. I love that. And the fact that you can control something that we in our industry have such a difficult time controlling. I mean, between the tops and the weather forecast and watching the weather so closely, I just think it's amazing that we can do this and really kind of take more control than we have in the past.
Yeah, you mentioned the weather. You know, most of the time lumber is stored outside where it's wet, and you asked me about the quality before. Imagine where all this stuff is built. It's built indoors. There's no rain days. There's no downtime. The wood doesn't get wet, which over time it's not gonna hurt the wood. But it will have different moisture content. So when the house is all built, it'll shrink, it'll move, and you'll get stress cracks and things like that. We see almost none of that with modular because it is controlled when it's built and it's covered. And so it's not, the wood itself is not exposed to the elements as well.
It's like flooring. If I don't know if you ever had oak flooring done.
Sure.
You know, you get oak flooring done, you really want it in the home, in the space, heated before it gets installed for a couple of days.
48 hours typically, yeah.
This way the wood kind of acclimates itself to the house and the temperatures, so on and so forth.
And the moisture level and everything, absolutely.
Yeah. Whereas with lumber, it's outside, it's soaking wet, and by the time you put it up, you insulate, you sheetrock it, that wood is not dried out yet. So that's another great advantage. That's awesome. Well, you know what, Ron? The phones are lighting up. I'd like to take a call right now.
Great.
Okay, you ready to answer a question for somebody?
Love it.
So we got a call. Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Mike.
Hey, Mike, where are you from?
I'm out in Selden.
Okay, Mike from Selden. So what's your question, sir?
Well, we're looking to put a second floor in our house. We're wondering what we should do first. Should we get in touch with an architect or find a contractor first?
That's a good question. I'm going to give that one to you, Ronnie.
I'll take that one. That's fine. Mike, actually, I'll give you as straight an answer as I possibly can, but obviously there's a couple of different possibilities, and it really depends on what you're looking to accomplish. First, I'll tell you what I would rather you did. I would much rather you spoke to a contractor. I hope that we would be that contractor. But even if not, architects, of course, have to make a living, and they want to get out there and they want to do a design. But a lot of times what we end up seeing is where a beautiful design is put together by an architect. Most of them are very good at what they do. But no idea as to the costing, or very little idea as to the costing. And they tend to over-design, and then it comes to us, and it's very hard to build it within the homeowner's budget. So budget is usually not taken into consideration enough. And so it's great to have a great plan and idea, but then not be able to build it. And we end up having to modify it. You know, our industry is a very competitive industry. And as much as we like to think that there's a difference in the costing, everybody's in and around the same. We all pay about the same for labor and lumber and all those things. They're commodities. And so with that, if you're having the same project built, it's usually going to be in and around the same price. So the idea is you want to make sure that it's in the range that you can afford. And the best way to do that is to get a good general idea of what you want to build, how you want to build it. And then you either find an architect, or if the contractor has an architect that they use, you may choose to use theirs. Now, I especially like for us to be in control of that part of it, because if it is modular, and for a project like yours, Mike, where you're looking to add a second floor, modular is such a perfect way to go that the plans typically are done by the modular factory. And it could be a savings of thousands of dollars. You know, to design and draw a second floor can cost between $5,000 and $10,000 typically for a set of plans, depending on how detailed you get. And when you do it in a modular fashion, the engineering department or the modular factory and the contractor that you're working with would charge a fraction of that to draw up everything that needs to be drawn up. And then we typically have a local architect that just signs off on it so we can file it locally. So I hope that answers your question in that I would much prefer, in a modular way, you definitely want to speak to the contractor first and not spend that money because it might go to waste. But even if it's not modular, it's a good idea to at least do it for budgeting reasons.
I hope that we answered your question, Mike. I think that was great, Ryan. I just want to add that the contractor you go to also plays a role. If you're going to go to a contractor who has a design team like we do, and many other good remodeling contractors out there have good design teams, then what you're saying definitely rings true. There are some contractors that don't have design teams, and they could be very good qualified contractors that can build your project. And, in that case, you might need to go to designer first. So I think Some of it has to do with who you're choosing. If you went into Allure, we can help you in that process. We can help save you money before sending you out there to get plans drawn and spend the expense, invest the expense in such an expensive process of blueprints and all that other stuff. We're going to get you the ideas. We could do the preliminary design work. We can do the complete design work, and we can do it for a lot less money. That's not right. Every contractor could do that. So I think, Mike, that question was answered in a way that Ron was talking about. You know, there's a lot of qualified contractors out there that have design teams. So hopefully I clarified it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take another commercial break, Ron, right here on WHLI 1100, and we'll be right back.
Home on Long Island.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements, and our guest today, Ron Behnken. How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing good.
Good. Today's topic, we're talking about room additions, specifically module, or as we call it, system built. And phone's lit up again, Ron, so I'd like to take a call right now. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jamie. I'm calling from Medford.
Hello, Jamie from Medford. What is your question today?
I just wanted to know, how do you handle inspections and getting a CO?
Okay, you're talking about the building inspections?
Yes.
Okay, so the building inspections from the town. All right, Ron, what's that whole process?
Actually, it's a great question. It's a little bit involved, but what's different between this process and when you construct on the site is that most of the inspections, all the rough inspections of plumbing, electric, all the mechanicals, the insulation, and so on, that's all done before it even gets to the home, which is one of the wonderful things because it tends to delay things so much, and you can't.
So wait a second. You're telling me that these are pre-inspected?
These are pre-inspected. The only things that are not pre-inspected are the finals. And that doesn't hold anything up because if it's already built and if it takes the inspector an extra couple of days to get there, who cares?
Let's say we're doing it in Medford. I think that's town of Brookhaven.
Yep.
How does the Brookhaven inspector go to upstate?
He doesn't. You see, what happens is when we file locally with the local building department, we also file with the state. And these factories, the factory that we use, does so much work that they actually have a state inspector for three different inspectors. So as the houses or the additions are going through the factory, they're inspecting them as they go. And when it shows up with the certificates that you need. And so the local inspectors, all they have to do is, as long as there's a certificate, they're covered. They don't have to worry about it.
So if there are specific building department requirements
mm-hmm.
for, say, the town of Brookhaven, and that are different than the state, will they build according to the Brookhaven requirements, whichever one is, I guess, the
absolutely
the biggest?
Yeah, they build the standard of construction, again, is higher, one, because they have to meet every building department requirement. So they go with the strictest one. And in addition to that, if a specific building department has a requirement that nobody else has, then we make sure that that's on the blueprints. So we design to meet that requirement. And when we file, we actually use the plans that are generated by the factory, how we're going to build it, to file locally as well. So the inspectors are done up at the factory by a state inspector, and it gets back, and once it's all built, it still has to meet the requirements of the local building department. So on final, with the final inspection, they check to make sure that everything was done accordingly.
Well, you know, that brings up a question, okay? I hope that was a good answer for you, Jamie. It's a good answer for me. I like that, Ron. I didn't know that process with the state. I really thought that this was, when it came down, there were certain inspections done during construction. But I think that adds a huge, huge advantage in terms of speed, because we both know that the building departments in many cases are they're overwhelmed. They have a lot going on. And to get an inspector out there and timing, it just slows the project up. This is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I got to say, the building departments have been great in that they usually, you call them and they're there the next day. But the problem is that by law or by their law, you're not supposed to start building the next phase until you pass inspection on a previous phase.
Yeah, so you're at a standstill.
Exactly. And you've just got to wait and you got to start. And coordinating and scheduling, and that is so difficult, but it's the nature of our business.
Okay, so.
So this is a great way to get around it.
I want to just review, and there's something I want to ask you about new construction. But I want to review the three biggest benefits. And as I'm listening to the show and I'm listening to you talk about module construction, which we call system built, I come up with the three benefits mm-hmm. for a homeowner. And it seems to me that the number one benefit seems to be quality. Quality is a huge benefit in terms, because everything I hear
it's a huge benefit.
The insulation, the structural integrity, the higher building standards, the factory controlled setting. So I think maybe if it's not the biggest, it's one of the top three. I think the second biggest benefit is the speed.
Yeah, the convenience.
Oh, the convenience and the speed of having your home completed in such a quick time and not having it exposed to the weather. And the third benefit, the larger the project, there seems to be a price,
there's a cost savings.
Sure. Yeah, there's a cost savings. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at quality and control, which is a benefit, speed, and price.
Absolutely. Yeah, and as long as you put with speed the convenience of it, because it's amazingly convenient. I should add that overall speed, the process and how long it takes to go through the full process and the designing and all that, and even the construction part of it, is not that different whether it's remote or whether it's built locally. But the difference is that the part that the homeowner is exposed to is extremely short. And the rest of the time, I'll say almost who cares, because it's being done away and it's not affecting your home and you can live in your home up until that point. So convenience.
How about new construction? Can you do a new house like this?
You know, this is where this was very big and has been very big and fast growing. So modular construction is huge for new construction. Where we found it to really be a nice fit on Long Island is that there's, especially in Nassau County, there's not a lot of land. And if you have a home that's really in very bad shape, or very often people think that they want to put a second floor in their home, and let's say they have a ranch, and when they do the second floor, they find now they have to practically gut the whole first floor because the bedrooms are going to go upstairs. They want to make the kitchen bigger. They want to add a family room. They want to
start from scratch.
What's left? Yeah. Just perimeter wall. So why not start from scratch? We can custom build a home to fit on the existing foundation. You use the heating systems and, you know, the boiler and everything else. And just have it sit on the existing foundation and have it be all new and Energy Star rated and so on, and usually for less money.
Wow, that's great. Now, I know that we have a couple of projects in the works right now. Can people visit our website to find out more about where we're going to be building these if they want to come take a look at them?
Sure. I don't think we post them now, but it's a great idea. We should post. We'll have it posted on our website so people come down and see. Usually when we do these things, people pull up in lawn chairs and just sit back, and it's an amazing sight.
It is amazing when you see the crane come and just lift it on. Well, any questions you have or any you want to learn more about what we talked about today, a couple of ways you can do it. You can go to allure.com. That's our website. On the website, you'll find ways to you'll find ways you can learn about what we're talking about. You'll have links to other areas you can learn about what we spoke about today. You can also, on the website, find ways to contact us. And you can contact us for more if you have any questions. You can go to our showroom, which is at 1999 Hempstead Turnpike in East Meadow. Right. And our soon-to-be showroom will be in Comac on Jericho Turnpike. And as always, you can call us. Leave us a message if we're not on the air at 631-292-9108. Or go to the WHLI website, WHLI.com. Click on Home on Long Island. So, all right, Ronnie, I want to tell you again, you are an awesome host. I appreciate you coming down and helping us out. Guest.
You're the awesome host.
I felt like the guest today. You were the host. But we're going to get you down again, okay, because I know you got a good Extreme Kitchen, Extreme 5-day bathroom program, which is a little spinoff of what we've talked about before. So we'll get you back here again. Thanks for coming on the show. And as always, want to end the show with our energy tip of the week. And energy tip of the week is insulate heating ducts in unheated areas, such as attics and crawl spaces. Keep them in good repair to prevent heat loss of up to 60% at the registers. So if you've got an unconditioned space in the attic or crawl space and you've got heating ducts, make sure that they're insulated. You'll save about 60% on your heating costs in there. That's all we got for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great week, great weekend, and enjoy your home on Long Island.
Home on Long Island.